Good morning, and welcome to Readers Anonymous Vision Big Book Study. My name, someone is unmuted. If you could please mute, I hear children in the background. Thank you. My name is Kathy Kay.
Can't hear you, Kathy.
We don't hear you, Kathy.
Okay, I'm back. I think I'll start again. Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, September 27th, 2019, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 57, the last two paragraphs of the chapter, We Agnostics, which begins, "Even so has God restored us all to our right minds." Today's readers are Shelley E. on the 12 steps, Athena B. on the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Dawn B., Julie E. B., and Jordan L. The reference numbers for the last two meetings for yesterday, Thursday, September 26, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, the reference number is 13,449. That's 13449. And for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting on September 27th, the reference number is 13,451 or 13451. Thank you, Lynn S., for starting our recording, and thank you, Hoodie R., our newcomer greeter, and Reggie O. on announcements. Okay. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Shelley E. to read our 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in northern Michigan. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. Have a great weekend, everyone. I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. And Athena B., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes, this is Athena B. from Northern California. These are our traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Excuse me. The only requirement, three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Athena B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is six months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we begin our study on page 57, the last two paragraphs beginning, "Even so has God restored us all to our right minds." And I will ask Dawn B. to get us started.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. Even so has God restored us all to our right minds. To this man, the revelation was sudden. Some of us grow into it more slowly. But he has come to all who have honestly sought him. When we drew near to him, he disclosed himself to us. Beautiful way to end an amazing chapter. And this is really speaks to me. Even so, has God restored us all to our right minds? Well, God has certainly taken me from a place of chaos and just a horrendous experience down the road of addiction to where my life was just completely out of control. And God has brought me to a place where that is not the case anymore, where I am not, amazingly enough, you know, food no longer calls to me. I feel neutrality around the food. And not only that, but my higher power has restored me to a place where more often than not, I also experience neutrality around my challenges in life, my problems in life. So a place of right mind, what does that mean for us? And in this sentence, it says, even so, God has restored us all to our right mind. So that doesn't mean it just comes to some of us and not to others. It means that all of us, when we absolutely put down the food and we work these steps like our hair is on fire, that our minds will be transformed and renewed. And we will go from a place where we used to, like as Harlan has said, we lie, we assign blame, we keep score, we fight battles that don't exist. And that is our daily life. To a place where we have a overwhelming sense of being guided by a higher power that renews our minds and fills our minds with a way, a perspective that we could not have had by our own abilities. And in this right mind, we can ask on a daily basis, you know, God, what's your perspective on this? What would you have me do? Please give me the right thought or action. God, I ask you to direct my thinking. I ask you to lead me and guide me. Tell me what to say and what to do. I turn my whole day over to you, and I ask for your will to be done, not mine. I'm no longer going to be giving you a list of demands of what I need to have happen, what I need other people to do, and what I need my life to look like in order to be happy. Now I'm saying, God, whatever it is, I accept it. How can I serve you today, God? How can I be of service to those around me? And that is a peace that comes from relying on this higher power that cannot be gotten on my own human abilities. That's a right mind. And so now it's living in a place that I just never thought was possible. Having had a spiritual awakening that happens to some of us suddenly, but to some of us over a period of time. And to me, I've had this spiritual awakening that has happened in a variety of ways. But it assures me that I can now rely on a power much greater than myself to accomplish for me what I never could on my own, and has restored me to a right mind and to a way of life that is beyond my wildest dreams. Thank you for letting me share my path.
Thank you so much, Dawn B. Okay, I'm happy to take some names. Who would like to share?
Kara L.
Julie E. B.
Okay, I heard Julie E. B. Who was the first person again?
Kara L.
Paris L.
Kara.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Beatrice L.
Beatrice.
Sherry K. B.
O. Sherry K. B.
Christina J.
Christina J. Let's stop there. So I have Kara L., Julie E. B., Bruce E., Beatrice O., Sherry K. B., and Christina J. Okay, thank you, everyone. Kara L., please get us started.
Good morning, my friends. This is Kara L.
recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Oh, what a way to start the morning. I was just thinking about this morning. God has restored us all to our right minds. And then this promise that he has come to all who have honestly sought him. Such a beautiful promise this morning to start my day with. And it's true. I mean, in the morning, I get up and I open my eyes and I know that my higher power has purpose for me in this world because I open my eyes. And I get the privilege of taking some moments with my higher power and settling my mind and listening and saying, what would you have with this day? And I ask for intuitive thought, intuition, or decision on something. And I review my day with my higher power and say, you know, guide me in this day. Show me how I may bring your light into this day. How may I be of service, you know? And when I do that, then life is so much easier and serene. And I notice when I start getting uptight and I start, it's me. I'm back in self and I've lost my connection with my higher power. I've heard it said on this meeting, you know, I've become agnostic throughout the day sometimes. And that's when I get to turn to a 10th step and I get to figure out what's blocked me. Why can't I feel my higher power in that moment? And then I get to work it through with another fellow. And I get to be back in that light. I get to feel that presence again. And it's beautiful. And if you had told me last year at this time that in just a month this would happen, I would say I wouldn't believe you. You know, it's a miracle in my life today. And things that used to terrify me, I am now passing through with ease. You know, those fears fall away because I know that I'll be cared for. And I know that today, that my job today is to do my higher power's will and to serve others. And when I stay in that frame of mind, I can't help but have a beautiful day. So I'm ever so grateful today. Love to you all heading into the weekend. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, Karen L. Julie E.B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Just very happy to be celebrating my 50th birthday today and to share that these promises are true for us. This is a miracle of healing, and God has restored me to my right mind. There were certain sudden moments when I realized the presence of God and others of it was just slogging through the work, and I would just never know when the relief would come. God has come to me, and not just any old God, but as the third step said, the care of God, the provision of everything I need for my health, welfare, and maintenance of my condition. Without these 12 steps, I would have been dead at 42 years old. I had a cardiologist, a pulmonologist, a neurologist. I had spinal surgeon, GI surgeon, OBGYN surgeon. I was 300 pounds, bedbound, screaming, my family in chaos, my career in chaos. And slowly some of it, just realizing at first that I deserve to breathe. Getting into these steps, having sponsors that walked me through step by step, word by word. God showed God's self to be a higher power and not the lower power. I tried to draw near to God many times, but my lower power voice, what I thought was God telling me to be better and then contact God, get life right and then contact God, get to the goal weight and then everything would be okay. So today I'm living a life that is not about the destination. It really is about the journey. And God is uncovering and disclosing God's self to me all the time. And one of the main ways is through you every day, listening to at least 2 hours of this meeting and being in service. And when it says God has restored my mind to me today, I not only have quiet food, The urges have been quiet to restrict and control my food, but also I just have a quiet mind, and when it's disturbed, I work the steps 10, 11, 12, and get back to where God can disclose God's self to me. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Julie E.B. Bruce E., please share with us.
This is Bruce E., and I'm in North Carolina, recovering in North Carolina. Thank you, everybody. Even so has God restored us all to our right minds. And it goes down to say at the end of that wonderful paragraph, but he has come to all who have honestly sought him. And that's what I'm doing. I'm honestly seeking him. My own self-centered, self-seeking, selfish mind keeps wanting me to go back to seeking my own way, my own self. But I have to constantly catch that and go back to honestly seeking him. And that restores me to my right mind. Yesterday, I felt like I was just totally going in the other direction. I didn't pick up, but I stayed abstinent, but I just felt like I was going the other way. And then I just sat down, and I sat down with a piece of our literature, and I'd read a couple of paragraphs of it, call somebody. Read a couple of paragraphs of it, call somebody. Did about four or five of those deals, got a hold of somebody, and we had a tremendous conversation. Read some more of the literature together. So it was restoring me to my right mind. I was out of my mind. I really was. I was out of my mind. I wasn't just, you know, absolutely crazy. No, I was just wasn't thinking right, and I needed to get restored back to my right mind. To this man, the revelation was sudden. Some of us grow into it slowly. Well, I had a sudden revelation some years back, and since then I've been kind of growing into it slowly, even though my own self-centeredness keeps taking me away from it, but I do keep coming back. And it works. You know, it works. It really does. I think it says somewhere in the big book, this works. It really does work. And I don't know, it's not really magic. Well, it is magic, but it's not magic. Magic is like somewhere, you know, pulling rabbits out of a hat. It's not really that. It's just that when I seek him and I do the work, something happens and my mind gets right. And I like having a right mind. And just an example of how can I best serve thee, thy will be done, not mine. I'm thinking, well, who can I serve today? Who can I serve today? Well, of course, anyone on the line or anyone I call. But I got my daughter and daughter-in-law here visiting from out of town. I can serve them today. I can do things that they want to do instead of stuff that I want to do. I got an agenda, but maybe it's not the same as their agenda. So why don't I go along with the group conscience of what they decide? My daughter, daughter-in-law, and my wife, what they decide, that's a group conscience. I can go along with that. I can serve them. I can serve the people around me. And what's amazing about it is we're all getting along pretty good. You know, there's times in years past when we'd get together, we wouldn't get along. But we're getting along. Why, that's tremendous. You know, that's terrific. So very grateful today, right now anyway. Yes. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce E. Beatrice O., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O. I love this paragraph, and I like the part where it says, to this man, the revelation was sudden. Some of us grow into it more slowly. So I've had a lot of revelations, like these overwhelming thoughts and feelings that I knew that it was my higher power. But there have been other times where I thought it was God, but it really wasn't my God. It was my own ego. So, you know, I've always wanted a warm fuzzy from God. You know, I wanted a hug from God, and I wanted that lightning bolt. And for a long time, I didn't have an instant relief from food. And I don't know, a lot of people always ask, well, how'd you get abstinent? And I would say, you know, I don't know. Maybe I made a decision, or maybe I didn't. I don't know. So my spiritual experience has been slow. But I've always known that that I believed in my higher power, and he is my cornerstone. But I also feel like when you build a house, there's those low-bearing walls that a house needs. And so in my heart, that those low-bearing walls that sustain me are belief and trust and faith. And the last overwhelming feeling that I had was after I had a slip. I decided on October 29th that I surrendered for the last time to my higher power. And since then, I had a slip, and then I became abstinent again. But what I just want to say is I had to let go of all the things that I thought were keeping me from my higher power, because my higher power is a God of grace and love and compassion. And I had to stop being mean to myself. I had to stop calling myself a chronic relapse, or I had to stop saying I was a rethread. And I had to stop saying that, you know, I'm on day one, because all that gave me was shame. Feeling like I was a loser. And I also had to let go of perfection. And so I guess I'll finish up with saying I had to let go of the rules about my higher power, because I know that he is with me, and I'm abstinent. And even on the days that I wasn't, he was always with me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Sherry KB, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service, Kathy, and Team Friday and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. I love this chapter, and, you know, it's interesting. The history of this chapter with my own personal experience has changed so much. I, too, have skipped over this chapter for years, thinking, well, I know there is a God, so I'll just move on, and didn't need this chapter. Thank you very much. And each time I read it, you know, it just keeps going deeper and deeper for me. And, you know, I was told that this chapter is not to prove that there is God, but to let God prove that he exists, and that I can have a personal relationship with God, and that he does care about me. And so with the ending of this chapter, you know, that God is going to restore me, you know, restored meaning to bring back to something that was lost, which definitely I was lost in so many ways. And to restore me back to my right mind, which means to me that God restores me to sanity. Not only that, but also removes the mental obsession and the mental twist, as long as I stay close to God. And just the changes that have happened for me since I've been doing this, and the awareness is, and that seeking God, you know, seeking hard, like sought. So sought meaning, you know, to search hard to be near God. So I did that with the steps, and that, you know, once I do that, because it says having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, you know, we carry this message to others and practice these principles in all our affairs, and that means that God does reveal himself to me. And I just want to talk about, just quickly, about page 181, because this is so beautiful. It's the second and third paragraph. It says, if you think that you're an atheist, agnostic, a skeptic, or have any other forms of intellectual pride which keeps you from accepting what is in this book, I feel sorry for you. If you still think you are strong enough to beat the game alone, that is your affair. But if you really and truly want to quit eating compulsively for good and all, and sincerely feel that you must have some help, we know that we have an answer for you. It never fails. If you go about it with one half the zeal you have been in the habit of showing when you're getting your next bite, your Heavenly Father will never let you down. And I love that. And I really believe when I seek my higher power's help, I get that help. And God gives me the strength and the courage to deal with whatever's in front of me. And thank you, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Christina J., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Christina J. from the state of Washington. And, boy, the last part of this chapter is so rich and beautiful. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And what is this new drug that I get to use that will only bring me love and sanity and peace? Well, it's God's love. You know, and as I work 10, 11, and 12 every day, I'm finding that the monkeys that I've had in my head jumping around like madmen since I was a little girl get quieter and quieter. And so then what? What do we do without this big drama in our lives, this big, always this drama happening? I had this major drama happening in my life since I was a kid, and it was always all-consuming. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to control it? Blah, blah, blah. Well, that's not happening anymore. I'm finding life is getting peaceful. Being of service is such an incredible joy. And through this, I have a stronger and stronger desire to connect to my new drug, to God's love, more and more and more. But, you know, it just doesn't happen for me so easily. Sometimes I wake up blah. I wake up tired. Some of my buttons still get pushed. And so I found a desire finally to stay out of that and to start practicing. You know, because a lot of these things that jump around in my head, my buttons get pushed, they're not true. They're old stuff that just is still there. And so I've started to pray and sing and chant God's name. Just no matter if I'm bored, blah, unhappy, whatever. My second husband was half American Indian, and he used to get up and do his prayers every morning. And I, in that time, I was of the idea that I had to feel something big and emotional. And sometimes we'd get up and I'd do the prayers with him, and it's like, I'm not feeling anything. This is just not doing anything. And he told me one day, he said, you know, if you do this every day, no matter how you feel, you're going to have an awakening that you won't believe. And so I'm starting that again, and I'm finding that when I just take 5 minutes a day or whatever throughout the day, and I sit and get quiet, and I start just praying and opening my heart, I feel this presence begin to flow through my body. And you know what? The gift of that is that I don't have to suck anything back anymore. I don't have to bury anything with food. The tools of this program work. I am growing into it slowly. I don't know if I'd want a sudden revelation. I guess that would be wonderful, but I don't know what that would be like. But I'm finding the desire to honestly seek this power and to be near him. I want to be near this power. And when I find that I do that, he draws closer to me. It's a miracle of healing. And I earnestly pray that everyone that's out there, newcomers, get in and start diving in, because the miracle does happen. So God bless everyone today. Love to all, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina J. Okay, I'd love to take a few more names. Who would
Michelle?
Like? Michelle, what's your last name?
Cheryl F. Cheryl F.
Carol F.
Rachel P.
Dorita P.
Rachel P. Dorita P.
Beth P.
Patricia L.
Beth P. And who's that with last name?
Patricia L. Patricia L.
Patricia L. Okay, let's stop.
And Robin P.
Okay, Robin, if we have time, I'll call on you as well. Okay, we have Michelle, Carol F., Rachel P., Dorita P., Beth P., Tricia L., and Robin P. Michelle, give me your last initial and then please share.
J.
Great.
Good morning, all of you. Michelle J. from Arkansas. Excited to be here with you and grateful to all of you online. And just thinking about this restoring of mind, it just reminded me that a year ago, I don't know if all of you would say that 58 years old is old or young. I guess it depends on where you are. But a year ago, at 58, my mind was broken. It was defeated. It lied. It found solace in food. And the only thing that I wanted to do in life was to eat. I ate to live, and I lived to eat, and I found no pleasure in anything else. That was a broken, sick, and insane mind. And I gave it over a year ago into program. And since then, I have been being transformed, renewed, reestablished. I find myself a year later in program, you know, gone through the 12 steps, working with others, and my mind is becoming like it used to be. I look for new and exciting things. I'm no longer jaded. I'm trying things new again. I'm no longer fearful for many things. I find myself being excited about getting up and calling you guys and talking to you and working with people. I'm excited about life again. And food is no longer my answer to junking out and just fading out, because I was fading out. My mind was going bye-bye at 58, and I am excited because I'm going to be 59 in a couple weeks, and I get to start life all over again with a new mind being restored and renewed. And I'm just excited, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle J. Carol S., please share with us.
Hi, my name is Cheryl F.
And I'm sorry, go ahead. Yep.
Hi, I'm from Manitoba, Canada, and this is my first time speaking at a meeting. And I just want to thank everybody for yesterday morning's meeting, for the good sharing. And three of you reached out to me with a landline phone call, and you know, I was just filled with hope and I was really touched, and I had such a good day yesterday. I didn't binge yesterday. I really took care of myself. So today is day two, and, you know, I have things to look forward to. I have this meeting to look forward to when and if I want to call. And, you know, my higher power, I believe, is helping me, and he brought me to OA, and I'm just very, very grateful, and it's one day at a time, and I just want to wish everybody a good day. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl F. Please keep coming back. And Rachel P., please share with us.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. I love this chapter. When I first read this chapter, I was really skeptical. I did consider myself a skeptic, and I didn't think it was strong enough to convince anyone who was an atheist or agnostic to accept a spiritual solution. But it wasn't until I took action and tried to have a spiritual connection that it began to work for me, and that was the key for me. And in terms of my relationship with my higher power, I had to learn that it had to be something inside of me, not something outside of me. It couldn't be the God that I grew up with. The God that I grew up with was of a religious faith. We went to church every Sunday. I went to youth group at least once a week. And my concept of God back then was this omnipotent man up in the sky who I would pray to every night and who would grant my wishes or not. And he never did grant my wishes. So I gave up on God. And it wasn't until I came into program after years of being an atheist that I had to learn that, God is has just been inside of me this whole time. My higher power, my spiritual connection is inside of me. It's not external, it's internal. I was at a yoga class last night, and the yoga instructor read this quote that I had heard before, but I hadn't really stuck until last night, and I've just been thinking about it the past 12 hours. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And that really spoke to me, because for so many years I thought that I was a human trying to reach out to this external God, this external higher power. And I had to learn coming in program that I am a spiritual being. We are all spiritual beings. And this connection has been inside of me this whole time. And it's inside of each of you. And this is how we get better, as we connect, because we connect with our higher powers, our own conceptions of our higher powers, and we connect with one another. And I'm just so grateful for this program. So thank you all, Pat.
Thank you so much, Rachel P. And Dorita P., please share with us.
Thank you. Thank you. I think this is Anita J., is that right?
Oh, I thought I heard Dorita P.
No.
Oh, who am I? Kathy K.
Yeah.
Kathy
oh,
K.
Okay, hi, Kathy K. My name.
Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Dorita P., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. I'm sorry, I needed to take myself off speaker. It's a privilege and honor to be in a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, and I'm just really grateful I have a seat here. And I just want to really welcome the newcomers. You know, you're the most important people here. So we're on page 57, the last of it, the last of We Agnostics. And it says, even so has God restored us all to our right minds. We're just reading about a guy that was restored to his right mind. And, you know, so that tells me that I wasn't in my right mind before. And that was absolutely right or correct. And I'm just really grateful that today I am in my right mind. To this man, the revelation was sudden. And for me, it was sudden. But I do have some slower revelations, I guess you could say, or more subtle ones. And I'm just really grateful for this program. I was able to release over 100 pounds, and it wasn't me. I could not stop eating. I could not stop eating for the life of me. So I know it wasn't me, because I tried my whole life. So, and I'm just really grateful, and I keep coming back. One of the reasons I keep coming back is I want to hear and witness all of these new miracles. Like we just heard a couple, you know, a lady talk about a year ago, you know, what happened to her and this new person yesterday, you know, people reached out to her. So I'm just really grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you, Dorita P. Let's see, Beth P., please share with us.
Hi, everyone. I'm Beth P., compulsive overeater, calling from Hawaii. It is 4:45 a.m. in Hawaii right now. This is the first time I've ever been on this call, as this is the first time I've been up early enough to be on this call. And I so appreciate all you amazing recovered compulsive overeaters. I've learned so much from you through listening to the special Sunday editions and the meetings that have been recorded. It's a thrill for me to be speaking on this meeting live. I got sober through this book 5 years ago, and now I'm a newcomer trying to get abstinent. But it really speaks to me. Some of us grow into it more slowly. That reminds me of what's talked about in the spiritual experience appendix, that most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety. For me, I liken that to the difference between flipping on a light switch and turning up the dimmer. You know, for me, it's just been a slow awakening as I put this program into action. You know, I definitely have to remember this is an action program. And it's true, my consistency with the meetings, the literature, tapping into the fellowship, you know, tapping into that unity consciousness and checking that conscious contact when anything arises that wants to pull me out of that. For me, my connection with my higher power is like this sweet, warm embrace. It's truly the sweetness that I always sought, you know, in those hyper-palatable foods that would just hijack my brain and completely control me. But today it's through the fellowship and through practicing the principles in my affairs. And I continue to learn and grow in this program, and I'm here for good. This is so exciting to me to be with you all live. And with that, in great appreciation and gratitude, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Beth P. I'm glad you could join us live today. Okay, Tricia L. and Robin P., we have about 4 minutes, so if you could each speak, we can hear from both of you. Please go ahead, Tricia.
Hi, my name is Patricia L. I'm in California. I've only been abstinent a couple of days since Monday, and I got sober in 2000 through this book, and I still continue to do my recovery over there, but I got to say that God has shined a light many times on food and has tried to speak to me in a number of ways, like some ways not so good, like health problems and a bleeding esophagus and ending up in the hospital and all kinds of food-related issues. In the recent past, in the last couple of years, I've had God come to me, like, in a vision, if you will. Like there's this big bag of sugar between us. You know, it's up to you. Move it, don't move it. Up to you. I could scoot closer, but I can't till this goes. And you know what? For 3 years, I was able to stay abstinent by myself. Like, just sort of working the program vicariously through my AA program. And then the sugar came back, and I had nightmares, like very vivid, suffocating, terrifying nightmares from binging on sugar. And you'd think that would get me, but no. So it's just been on and off and on and off and on and off. And I was talking to my AA sponsor on Tuesday, and she said, well, maybe you have an exposed flank. You know, you're doing your recovery with alcoholism, you're doing your recovery with Al-Anon, and now this has been shined the spotlight on. So I know God can do all things. I know that. But I was writing about it this morning, and it's like, am I all in? Because I know that if I seek after him, like, half the deal, like, the perfect reading. Like, it's funny. All my knowledge is not availing me much at this point. So I want to continue to do this one day at a time because I'm scared about my daughter's birthday in February or Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever. And you know what? Tomorrow's none of my business. Not even the next hour is any of my business. So just for this moment, I'm on this line and I'm doing the deal because I don't want what I used to have and I want what you guys have. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Patricia L. Robin, please, Robin P., you have 2 minutes to wrap us up. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And, you know, it just reminds me of God is either everything or God is nothing. I think someone's unmuted. If you give just a star one to mute, that'd be great. So either God is everything or God's nothing. And this just reminds me, like, this is my opportunity. Every opportunity is my chance to grow closer to God. And that's my solution for everything is to lean on God. I already know what it's like to lean on myself. And boy, has that never worked. If it would have worked, it would have worked by now. So, you know, just remembering the first three steps, you know, in relation to this paragraph, you know, I am powerless and my life's become unmanageable. Seems to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity and made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And so that's so helpful for me. And then when I start getting into fear, I just remember that all I'm supposed to do is pray for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out. And, you know, we all go through trials and tribulations, and I get to grow closer to God and really rely on my faith. And I believe that I see signs all the time. And, you know, I was driving with my sister the other day, and there's a big truck came in front of us saying faithful right in front of us. And I know that God talks through us in many ways. So I get to just stay honest, open, and willing. That's how I recover. God bless everybody with a really beautiful, abstinent weekend. And thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. And thank you, everyone who has shared today and everyone who has listened. It's been a great meeting. I want to say a special thank you to Shelly E., Athena B., Dawn B., Julie E. B., and Jordan L., who helped me with Team Friday for the month of September, and I am very privileged and honored to have done this service. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Julie E.B., would you please read A Vision for You?
Yeah, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.